visiting the hospital a couple of weeks ago, the daughter of a friend of ours, and seeing her in a condition that was not good at all. The doctors have not given her much longer to live. She has lost a lot of weight. Talking to the father and mother, our friends, I tried to encourage them, to strengthen them, and yet I couldn't. What? It is easy for me to say things to others when I'm not in their shoes. It is easy for Christians to get up and praise God and jump and cry out, "Praise the Lord, God has blessed me." And yet, when the moment comes when their body is about to sink, they need that kind of excitement and more. It is easy to believe or say that I believe in God and in prayer when things are not, when things are going well, and God has blessed me with children, with work, with a house, with health. It's easy to believe in God. It's easy to believe in prayer. And yet when things happen, we question God. And I've heard people say, "Where was God when this happened? Where was God when the building in Bangladesh fell on and hundreds of people died? Where was God?" Well, God is always there. The problem is we don't see Him and we don't acknowledge Him. We only think of Him when things are going bad. It is easy for a preacher or a teacher to preach and teach about a loving, compassionate, and caring God and the power of prayer when things are going well and there is no crisis. It's easy for a pastor, it is easy for me to say, "All you need is faith. All you need is the Holy Spirit to help you deal with this situation when I'm doing well." But it is difficult for me to deal with a situation that I may find will be difficult for me to find myself in a situation where my faith is being tested. But our faith is put to test when things start falling apart, when a loved one is suffering and is facing terrible future and grief. It is easy to not understand the person who is asking you for some help. It's not easy to understand because you think they should do better. They should work harder. They should watch their diet. And we have all the answers to the problems that people may face. And yet, when we are faced with the same kind of a situation, we find it very difficult to deal with our situation. Usually, a crisis drives people to either fall apart or cry out to God for help. It seems that crisis drives people to their knees, which is very true, even with people who doubt God. Even with people who don't even believe in God, when something is happening or is about to happen, they call God for help. "Oh my God, help me." But that's not what believing in God is. In Matthew 15, verses 21 and to 28, we read the account of a mother in crisis and a dilemma. Where could she go? What can she do? She had tried everything else. Believe me, this Greek woman had probably tried everything she knew. She probably went to all the doctors she knew. She probably spent all her nights trying to control the girl's illness. And yet, she had come to the end of her rope. She had heard about Jesus now, but how could she go to him? She was not Jewish. She was a Greek born in Syria. A Greek born in Syria meant that the Jews would look at her and say, she is a Gentile. She is a dog. And we'll comment a little more later. And so this woman is faced with a situation, with a crisis that no one could help her. Only she knew the pain in her heart. Only she could understand that her daughter was suffering, and she was seeing her daughter suffer. There is nothing she could do. So finally she said, I will go. This mother had a crisis in her hands, and she had to do something. She could either stay home and let this crisis destroy the family, or she could bring her daughter to Jesus and ask him for his help. We see this desperate woman on her knees pleading for help. She actually had come to believe in Jesus, that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. She called him Lord. She was a convert now. She had been touched by the message of Jesus Christ. It must have taken a lot of courage for a Canaanite woman to ask a Jew for help. The Jews hated the Canaanites, and they were hated by the Canaanites. The Jews referred to the Canaanites as dogs. The Jewish professor Israel Shahak writes, and I quote, "Thus, an Orthodox Jew, learns from his earliest youth, as part of his sacred studies, that Gentiles are compared to dogs. That is a sin, that it is a sin to praise them," and so on and so forth, he writes. Another Jewish professor, Sasha Stern, writes, "The non-Jews are considered similar to dogs. They are even, according to the Mechilta, of a lesser account than dogs." So you can see the context of this statement, and you can see the culture of that time. There are all kinds of words we use these days that make no sense, actually. We say, this is cool. I don't know what cool means, other than to say, I think that's good, that's wonderful, it's cool. Or we say, this person is this or that, and use words that make no sense in our conversation. So this was, instead of saying Gentile, these people were considered dogs or called dogs. The Greeks considered any non-Greek barbarian. Just to give you an example of how it worked, usually the question was, are you Greek or a barbarian? Pass me estin, Ellen. Pass me Ellen estin barbaros. They would say, "Pass me Ellen estin barbaros." Anyone who is not Greek is a barbarian. So if you think calling them dogs was bad, barbarian was as bad. So this was the vocabulary used in those days. This desperate mother prays, and her prayer was very short, to the point, "Have mercy on me." But Jesus did not answer a word. Her faith was under fire now. She cried out for help, and the Lord was silent. He was her only hope, and he wasn't answering. His silence was testing her faith. We've been talking about answers of prayers in the past few Bible study meetings. And we've said that God answers our prayers always. And yet some Sometimes we feel that he has not answered our prayers. Sometimes we feel that God is taking his time to answer our prayers. And sometimes we see his answer right away. And when we don't hear from God, it doesn't mean that he has not heard our prayer. This woman was put to the test. Jesus did not respond. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, obviously, but she did not. A lot of times we know something, we think, that God doesn't know, and we explain it to him. I've heard people pray and say, Lord, would you please help me, or help my mother, or help this person. Please would you gently speak to her and tell her that this is wrong and shouldn't be doing. And then other times we say, Lord, you know that I need a car, and I need it to be large enough, and this. And we explain to God, and we give him orders, and God enters all our requests in his computer, we think. But God doesn't work that way. God knows, God sees the bigger picture. God knows exactly what we need and when we need it and how we need it. And like this woman, we must remain faithful and believe that God is answering our prayer. But that's difficult. It's easy for me to preach it from here. It's easy for you to preach it to someone else. It's easy for you to go and witness to a sick person. It's easy for our Christian doctrines and philosophies to tell people how they can be successful, how God will answer their prayers, how this and how that. And yet when they find themselves in a terrible situation, they fall apart. Why? Because talk is cheap. And when our faith is tested, and when I pray to God, please take this pain away from me, and wait, oh, he's going to take it away. And it stays there. And I pray again, God, didn't you hear me? Take this pain away. I'm suffering and nothing happens. I tell you, very often, God allows us to go through pain so he can know what pain is all about. Let me give you an example. It's silly, you may think. The other day, or not yesterday, Friday night, my wife and my daughter are not home, so I wanted to cook. So I did. I turned on our stove. I didn't know how to cook. And yet, I've forgotten that some things. Anyway, so I did finish cooking, and the meal looked very good. I picked it up from the end of that handle, and I dumped it into my plate, and then I wanted to put it into to wash it, and my hand went very close to the center of that, and all of a sudden my hand went balloon here, burned so badly. I didn't know the meal was there. I wanted to enjoy the meal. I couldn't eat it. For the next 45 minutes, I was putting ice and stuff, and was hurting. So finally, I start thinking. I said, if this part is burning so bad and I'm hurting so hard, so much, I can imagine what happens to people who are found in a burning building and their whole body is burning. And I almost lost it. You know, this pain taught me to appreciate, to understand the pain of someone who is lying in a hospital, burned. Well, God did take away the pain, and I did some things that helped me. And yet, that pain, that moment has stuck in my mind. So every time now I hear someone burned, I can imagine how terrible that is. Well, God allows us to go through difficulties and problems very often so we can learn what it is. When you lose your job, then you realize that losing your job is not so funny. It's not easy. You can tell an unemployed, well, you this, do that, and then you try and you can't find a job. Then you have doubts in your mind and you say, don't worry. If you have the Holy Spirit in your mind, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, all your doubts will flee, will go away. And yet, there comes a moment, somebody says something, you read something, and all of a sudden you start doubting things, doubting about God, doubting about this stuff. And then now you say, okay, now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, go away, and it doesn't go away. So what happened to your method? What happened to your doctrine of this and that? Well, God has the last word. I believe God may even allow someone to deal with a doubt. So if you have some doubt, just wait patiently on God and bring it to Him. If you have something that you cannot understand, this woman could not understand how this Messiah that she believed in, this woman could not understand how this prophet, this healer could ignore her so badly and be such a good man. Not only ignore her, but called her a dog. His reply was, it is not right. Well, let me just go back and say, his silence was testing her faith. Has God seemed to be silent when you have prayed recently? Has that shaken your faith? This woman is desperate, persistent, and powerless. She will not take his silence for an answer. Lord, help me, she continues. So don't give up. Just continue. Maybe God is teaching you patience. His reply was, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Her faith is under fire once again and tested, but she won't give up. Lord, call us what you want. Call me a dog, call me a Gentile, call me whatever. And yet I need your help. I know who I am. I know that I am useless. I know that I'm not part of the chosen people as they were known and they are known. I know who I am, and yet please help me. I know that we are considered outsiders, dogs. But even outsiders need your help, as dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So here I am, Lord, help me. Now, it does take a lot of faith. It does take a lot of love. It does take a lot of compassion for a child that is suffering. And it does take a lot of understanding of our inability to do something to help, to change things. It just brings us to the point where we say, I'm useless, God. I can't even deal with my own personal doubts. I can't even deal with my own personal desires. I can't even quit doing this. I can't quit doing that. And I see my family falling apart because of me. And I see that I lost my house. And I lost my job. I lost my sanity. And yet, Lord, I'm continuing. Please have mercy. I'm a dog, if you wish to call me. And yet, I need your help. God loves every one of us. In the eyes of God, we're not any less or any more than anyone else. And yet God allows things to happen in our lives so we can recognize Him and recognize the need to have Him on our side, if you wish, or help us. The woman did pass the test. She passed the test of faith. Her faith overwhelmed Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Now, nothing could impress God. Nothing, our good works, our ministry, our money, our whatever cannot impress God. There is only one thing that will excite God's heart, and that is our faith in Him and love for Him. Woman, you have great faith. You have great faith even when I was silent. You had great faith even when I called you an outsider, a dog. You have a great faith to continue recognizing me and acknowledging me as the healer, as the God, the only God. She's no longer an outsider. She's no longer a dog. Jesus called her woman. Jesus had referred to his mother also as woman. Now, from being changed from an outsider, if you wish, to a woman, which was used in those days, not you're just a woman, but a woman. Jesus called her mother a woman, rather saying Mary or mother at that particular situation. So she was elevated from a Gentile Greek, which was hated by the Jews, to a place where she was honored now. This woman understood Jesus better than his disciples did. They wanted Jesus to send her away. They were bothered by her presence. They did not understand Jesus, even though they were with him for 3 years. There are people who claim to be Christians for many years. We claim to be servants of God. We claim to be pastors and teachers and priests and whatever. And yet when someone comes in our presence that we feel, it's not clean enough, educated enough, intelligent enough, and starts asking questions and trying, searching to find God, we push them out, we push them away. Well, I'll give you a phone number. Please call that service. They will help you better. Well, you know, I know another church down the street. They may be able to help you. You know, if you read the Bible, it's going to answer your questions. And we all push them away, as these disciples did. These disciples were bothered by this Greek who was bothering Jesus. And yet, Jesus not only healed her daughter, but elevated her to the same level as every other woman and the Jewish nation or culture. Her faith in Jesus made her keep praying, and Jesus saw her faith and commended her. He said, "You have great faith. Your request is granted." Some people say, and sometimes we believe it, that some things are not happening in our life because we don't have enough faith. The only faith that God needs from us is to acknowledge that there is a God, that He is there, and to acknowledge the fact that we are useless, hopelessly lost, and we need Him. Now, that's not a great achievement. Some people have accused me of saying that we have a free will, or accused me of saying that we have something to do about our salvation. And yet, all I can say is this. The only thing I've done as a sinner, the only thing that you have done as a sinner, is to acknowledge that without God, we are lost. We acknowledge that without God there is no hope. And we acknowledge that we are drowning in sin and will die in sin unless someone saves us. And then we start shouting, "Please God, help me." Now this is not achieving something. It's not doing something that impresses God other than to say, "You are the only God. You are the only one. And you are the only one that can save me and give me a new life." Then He will pull us out. That's what He did with this woman. The miracle took place immediately, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Faith tested under fire is stronger than the next crisis. Faith tested under fire is stronger during the next crisis. You see, when you start exercising and you have muscle pain and you continue exercising the next time you lift something, it's going to be easier than if you had not exercised. Exercising your faith is like exercising your body muscles. If you don't exercise your body muscles, they will die, and you will not be even able to walk. Well, if we don't go to Bible studies, if we don't read the Bible, if we don't pray, if we don't go to church, if we don't talk about the Lord, if we spend all our time in entertainment, we're letting our spiritual muscles die. And then when a crisis comes, just in case God hears me, please help me. But this woman had made up her mind. I know no matter what he calls me, no matter how he treats me, I know he is the only one that can help me. So her faith came under fire. And because she persevered, her daughter was healed. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being so kind, so compassionate. And yet, Lord, you allow things to happen to us. You allow circumstances to try us and test us. And yet, Lord, even if the circumstances don't change, you very often or always help us deal with the circumstances. Please be with us this morning. Guide us, protect us from evil attacks. And may we go out knowing that you are in control. In your blessed name I pray, amen.